living in urgent times, if you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Anne McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, my friends. It can you believe it? It's October 13th, 2025 on a rainy, miserable day here in Philadelphia. But we pray for all of our friends down on the coast, on the Atlantic coast, who are suffering flooding and severe winds. So we are grateful to be with you today. And my friends, if you don't know it, it is the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. So let us pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Mother, we dedicate this program to you on this, your special feast day. And we pray for all those who are listening today, all those who wanted to listen and could not. We pray that their hearts be touched, be motivated, and be transformed into what you want of them in serving your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for being our loving mother. We thank you for all the answered and unanswered prayers. And we dedicate this program today to you, Our Lady of Fatima. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, my friends, for those of you who don't know what in the world is the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, it commemorates the final apparition and the miracle of the sun, witnessed by thousands in the same year. And this occurred, my friends, the miracle of the sun, October 13th, 1917. Look it up and read the whole history of the miracle of the sun, which fell to the earth. It was pouring rain, and thousands were gathered in a field, thousands, and they were soaked. And the sun, they were looking up, and it came plummeting to earth and dried all the clothing of the people in the fields. And it was documented. It's actually, they have photographs of it. If you look it up, it's an astonishing story. So I highly, highly recommend those of you who do not know anything about the miracle of the sun to look it up today. Well, we certainly have a lot of prayers needed, don't we? We certainly have a lot of prayers. First of all, we want to thank our Lord Jesus Christ for peace in the Middle East, for the return of the Israeli hostages, and for peace between Gaza and Israel. And it's my understanding that many Middle Eastern diplomats gathered today with President Trump to sign a peace accord. And we thank and praise Jesus, and we pray that this peace will be binding, that all the nations will fulfill what they are signing, and that there will be peace, and that people can be fed, and people can live again in peace and harmony. And we thank you for that. And we pray also for peace around the world, all the other continents of the world, where there is discord and disunity and violence. We pray for all the Christians who are being massacred in Africa. We pray for an ending to this, Lord Jesus, a divine intervention. We pray for all those around the world, even our own country, where there is disunity and violence. We pray for peace, Lord Jesus. We pray for peace. And we also pray today in a special way for the healing of our families and our listeners, all those who call in or send emails or texts to In His Sign Radio Network. We pray for your special intentions today. We pray that our Lord Jesus Christ will intervene for all those who are listening in a very special way. Amen. Well, today was supposed to be the golf outing for this amazing network. And due to the weather, which is, it's bad, but it's not as bad as they predicted. It's been rescheduled. So we thank you and praise you, Jesus, for that. And we know that you have a divine plan, even better plan for this golf outing. And yesterday I had the great honor of being present for the first feast day of St. Carlo Acutis, which was held at Malvern Retreat House. And we had the great blessing of a mass with Father Stephen DeLacy And we also were blessed by the relic, the first class relic, and so many people were there. Well over 200 people attended. It was supposed to be outside on the grounds, but because of the weather, it was held inside. And thank God for the facility. But wow, to see all the young families there was so beautiful. I mean young, and schools represented. Schools in our archdiocese who carried banners in, and also the men of Malvern, they carried their banners some 70 years, some 50 years. It was really quite beautiful. And so a special salute to a person who is a friend of this apostolate, Mary B. D'Amico, and of course the president of Malvern, Michael Norton, who put this together. But it was the very first feast day of Carlo Acutis. So every year on this feast day, we will be celebrating Carlo's life. So we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Carlo. We thank you for all the people who made yesterday so special. And then at the end of the Mass with Father Stephen DeLacy, you have the best of the best. He just knows how to deliver the punch, to deliver the gospel. Father Doug McKay walked in. Now, what a gift he is. What a gift Father Doug McKay is. And afterwards, after all the people greeted him and they were going out to the down to the shrine, rather, because it was inside, I had the opportunity to spend a little bit of time with Father Doug, with some members of my family. And he shared the story of the dog attacking him and his shoulder and the pain. And he showed me a scar down near his wrist and how he really brought to light how, you know, really, do we realize how Jesus carried the cross on his shoulder and the pain on his shoulder? And he was just, it was a mystical moment in which he shared his suffering, which he still suffers from that dog attack, and how he's offering it up. And it was very powerful. It was a very, very powerful moment. But he really spoke into and leaned into the power of suffering. And this is what I wanted to talk about. We talk about this in 100 different ways on this particular program, but I was really inspired by him yesterday, as always. Many years ago, I used to do retreats with him and Kathleen and Anna Itesta, Women of Fire, and just what a priest, what a priest. How blessed we are in this Archdiocese of Philadelphia to have a Father Stephen DeLacy and Father Doug McKay, and all of our priests. We pray for them today in a very special way. But he inspired me. He inspired me. And so in praying about today, it was, are sufferings tailor-made for us? Now, doesn't that seem like a ridiculous question? Because he said that the suffering of his shoulder, of the dog literally ripping apart his collarbone and his shoulder, the suffering has led him into the mystical body of Christ and Christ's suffering. So we have all heard, at least if you're listening to this network, about the wounded healer. But it led me to really pray into and to do some research today for this program. So are sufferings tailor-made for us? Now, life in this world is a test. It's a trial, and everyone has a cross of some kind to bear. And the sacred scripture says, when you come to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for trials. That's from Sirach 2, verse 1. Now, the trial of life consists in this. Will we love God and his ways or ourselves and our own ways? Now, Archbishop Fulton Sheen would say that there are basically two philosophies of life, the Christian and the secular. Now, in the Christian, he said, first you fast and then you feast. And we have our trials now, but we look for eternal joy in heaven. Now, according to the secular philosophy, first you feast and then comes the hangover. I know many of you are laughing, but that's something Father Doug would say also. See, our sufferings test us, don't they? But they're all tailor-made to bring us closer to God. This is something Father Doug McKay said yesterday. And when God sends a cross, it applies to our own situation. There's a reflection often attributed to St. Francis de Sales that expresses this truth eloquently. The everlasting God has in his wisdom foreseen from eternity the cross that he now presents to you as gift from his inmost heart. This cross he now sends you, he has considered with his all-knowing eyes, understood with his divine mind, tested with his wise justice, and warmed with loving arms and weighed with his own hands to see that if be not one inch too large and not one ounce too heavy for us. He's blessed it with his holy name, anointed it with his consolation, taken one last glance at you. That's right, you and your courage, and then sent it to you from heaven. A special greeting from God to you, and alms of the all-merciful love of God. Now, it's important for us to be content with the cross that we've received and try to do our very, very best to carry it with Jesus. And this is what Father Doug was saying yesterday. Jesus carried the cross on his shoulder. So Father Doug turned that suffering into a mystical moment of healing and intercession for others. So don't worry if your cross looks different from someone else's or if another person's cross seems a lot smaller. Now, there's a story written. It's in Father Andrew Apostoli, and he shared this at a retreat, and I love this. There's a story about a man who complained that his cross was way too big. He complained so much that God finally said, all right, go into that warehouse over there and pick up any cross you want. He went into the warehouse where he saw some huge crosses. He figured he must have been one of those. He looked around, found a tiny, tiny cross and said to God, I'll take that one. And God said, well, that's the one you just had. Now, keep in mind that God gives us the cross we can bear and that many people carry much bigger crosses than we do. So don't wish for someone else's set of circumstances because you never know what a person is enduring, my friends. Even something that appears to be good fortune can turn out to be a cross. Now, I know of a couple who won the lottery and after taxes received about $500,000. Now, this is probably 15 years ago. I read of it in a newspaper. With all that money came heartache. Their kids got into drugs. Two of them ended up in jail. Problems came into their marriage. And the mother told the newspaper reporter of her relatives that this was her worst day in her family's life. And it was the day they won the lottery. Now, I know many of us who are listening run out to play that lottery saying our lives will change for the best if we win that lottery. And I'm raising my hand, too. I've done it over the years. Well, there's a story, and I found it, and it was probably 15 years ago. And I think I've read many stories of people's lives who've been destroyed when they won the lottery. So you never know. There's an old saying, God orders all things sweetly. He will give us the grace to handle our crosses well. Now, what may a cross look like? Now, I want you to think about that right now. What would a cross look like to you? Maybe it consists of physical sickness or injury, and there are crosses, even if they only temporarily disrupt our lives. Maybe your car broke down. Maybe you can't pay your mortgage. Maybe you can't pay your medical bills. Chronic illness is definitely a demanding cross. And of course, the deprivations of old age are crosses. The gradual loss of hearing, sight, strength, and some, the onset of dementia. And sometimes, by the way, our personal crosses are more of an emotional nature, aren't they? And we find ourselves fighting fear and anxiety, depression and loneliness. God, in giving us these very difficult crosses, is asking us to learn to trust him and his never-failing care for us. Some people are beset by the problem of perfectionism. The temptation to have to be perfect in everything we do is a real trial that may take years and years to overcome. Spiritual problems, my friends, can also be a cross. People who love God very deeply may enter into a period of dryness in prayer. Now, if you're unable to feel God's presence today, you may think that he's abandoned you, or he doesn't even love you. The beautiful Song of Solomon in the Old Testament describes the love between a bride and groom. At one point, the bride searching for the bridegroom is unable to find him, and she says, "Hey, have you seen him?" She didn't say, "Hey." "Have you seen him whom my soul loves?" That's the Song of Solomon 3, verse 3. Sometimes we experience that same sense of loss, and we wonder, where is he whom we love? Doesn't he love me anymore? I just know we have listeners today. Just know. You're crying out, "Doesn't he love me anymore?" Now, this is a very powerful trial, but we must remember that God never walks away from us. Never. Oh, he may be silent, and we may not even sense his presence, but he is near, and his love never wavers. God doesn't have moods. Are you surprised by that one? I answered that question. It was probably 5 or 6 days ago by someone who said, "Well, isn't God sad? Or isn't this person who's in heaven sad?" I said, "No, once you hit heaven, you're happy." "What? There aren't any moods in heaven?" "Well, not according to the saints in the sacred scriptures. God doesn't have moods. He doesn't wear a mood ring to find out if he's going to have a good day or a bad day. He loves you as much on the worst day of your life as he loves you on the very best, my friend. God doesn't have moods. We do. Saint Mother Teresa endured 50 years, and we've talked about this for a couple years, but I'd like to bring it up because we can relate to this, a spiritual dryness. And she experienced this sense of abandonment by God. Now, this is a saint. Would you ever think that Mother Teresa experienced a sense of abandonment by God? Well, she did. Saint Therese of Lisieux similarly entered a dark night of suffering for about 18 months before her death. 18 months before her death. And said that she experienced no consolation from God. I know we have people who are suffering now with chronic illness, terminal illness, those who are listening in hospitals. You're saying, "I don't have any consolation from God." But both of these women, Mother Teresa and the Little Flower, and countless other Christians, even today, have endured this sense of horrible abandonment, but have weathered the storm by carrying their cross and seeking the Lord with all their heart. You see, old habits of sin can come back and haunt people. These severe crosses test us, don't they? But can be borne just like any other cross. Now, in these situations, dear listener, it often helps us to seek the counsel of a wise preacher, confessor, and the grace of the sacraments, if you're Roman Catholic, as an aid in getting through these temptations, or just a prayer partner, even a prayer partner. Sometimes when people get older, the devil brings up their past sins and says that God didn't forgive them. Now, if you're listening, does this sound familiar? Does the devil constantly bring up your past sins and say that God didn't forgive them? The dark night and sense of desolation that accompanies these trials are part of the cross, my friends. God leads us through these trials so that we learn to trust him more, to love him more, and to seek him with holy longing. Sometimes our family is the source of our cross. I can't tell you, I don't think I know one family, and I know a lot of families globally, that are not experiencing the cross right now. Truly, in every continent, people that I know are asking for prayer. Their families are experiencing the cross. Those who are married must keep in mind that their commitment is for better or for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, until death. Separation and even civil divorce happens at times when, for example, a spouse or children and protection from abuse come along, but the struggles of married life are crosses allowed by God to help a couple grow together in holiness. We learn to love God through loving one another. And by the way, this begins in the family. This begins in the family. Now, Father Benedict Groeschel, I'm laughing because he shared this story, and it's one of my all-time favorite, and I want to share it with you today. He said he told the story of a priest who was giving a parish mission. He told the people to bring any religious articles they wanted blessed on the last night of the mission, and he would bless them. And the night came, and he asked everyone to hold up all their religious articles. Well, are you ready for this one? A big commotion broke out in the back of the church because a woman was trying to lift up her husband. And the priest yelled, "Lady, I'm not blessing people. I'm blessing religious articles." And she yelled back, "Father, he is my cross." I love that. I wrote that down in the back of a book that Father had written. And I thought that's a riot because how many of us, "Father, he is my cross." Now, raising children, by the way, can be a cross. Criticism, fighting, the loss of respect, the use of foul language, which is so prevalent, even in commercials on TV. In our own government, the foul language can crowd into a family's life and do great harm. Parents and children need to work and pray together to achieve harmony. And sometimes, no matter how faithfully and loving parents carry out their role, disappointments, troubles, alienation from the family, ingratitude, abandonment of the faith, and other problems can occur when the children grow up. Now, numerous daily irritations can accumulate, don't they? I bet you if you wrote them all down, it would fill a journal. They accumulate to feel like a heavy cross. Now, conflicts at work, I know someone's leaving work now. Conflicts at work, different approaches to problems, lack of communication can be a terrible burden. It weighs us down and robs us of joy. Now, I remember a cartoon that fits in here. Do you remember cartoons? My husband and I were talking about a month ago. Remember on Sundays when we used to read the comics in the newspapers? Well, in Philadelphia, we had two newspapers, the Philadelphia Bulletin and the Philadelphia Inquirer. And we, as kids growing up, always loved to read the funnies, we called them, or the comics. Today, the kids are like, "What in the world are you talking about?" So, do you remember a cartoon that fits in here? A man was reading the newspaper while his wife was working on a crossword puzzle. And he's saying to her, in answer to her question, "No, I don't know the meaning of the word apathy, and I could care less." That kind of attitude, especially in families, can be very painful. Finally, the world presents us with crosses in the form of war, doesn't it? Terrorism, the economy, natural disasters. Now, some people are chosen by God to be victim souls. Now, Father Doug McKay speaks of this quite often. He himself is a victim soul. Now, what is a victim soul? It's one who bears great suffering for the love of Christ. Now, this type of suffering, and you may be listening and you're saying, "That's me." This type of suffering is called witness suffering. And these men and women give a good example of faithful Christian life that encourages us. Padre Pio, we all know Padre Pio. He was such a person. He had so many sufferings, but he used to ask the Lord for more because he wanted to share in those of Christ. He endured the cross of illness, beginning with a bronchial condition that started in his childhood. And this remained with him for his entire life. He sometimes, by the way, had fevers, are you ready? Of 115 degrees. And he served in the military during World War I, but was sent home to recuperate on 5 different occasions. The last time, according to the doctor and the notes, so that he could die in peace. Misunderstanding and false accusations plagued Padre Pio even in childhood. And when he was a young boy, someone slipped a love note into his pocket during class in order to play a trick on him. The other kids amused made a lot of noise. And when the teacher asked them what was going on, they said, "Oh, it's Francesco," his baptismal name, by the way. "He's in love." The teacher found the love note and slapped him across the face. Later, the teacher learned that what really happened and apologized to Francesco. Years later, Padre Pio referred to that incident, noting that the teacher never took the slap back. Now, when Francesco, a.k.a. Padre Pio, was ready to go into the seminary, a student who was jealous of him started a rumor that he was in love with the train master's daughter. Now, the parish priest who was helping Francesco, a.k.a. Padre Pio, with his preparations for the seminary, never asked him directly about it. The priest became so angry that he kept his distance and wouldn't communicate with him for an entire month. Now, the poor young man didn't know what was going on. And later, the priest learned the truth and helped Francesco, a.k.a. Padre Pio, along with his plans. Does this sound familiar to anyone? It happens every day to kids in our schools, to people at work. Someone may start a rumor or think they're really funny. And it's awful. The punishment, the cross that people bear because of someone thinking they're so funny. And it isn't funny at all. And Padre Pio experienced this before he even entered the seminary. The Holy Office placed Padre Pio under investigation 5 different times in a period of 10 years, all because people, like I just described, including his own local archbishop, spoke against him. He bore the stigmata, the 5 wounds of Christ in his hands, feet, and side for 50 years. And some people accused him of faking these wounds. Are you aware of that? They accused him of faking these wounds. One, a priest, who was also a psychiatrist, wanted to investigate these wounds, even though the Holy See had forbidden him, anyone, to investigate them without explicit permission from the Vatican. Padre Pio even asked the priest if he had this permission, but the priest would only say that the Holy Office knew he was there. And Padre Pio pointed out that he hadn't asked that. He had asked if he had permission when the priest said no. Padre Pio threw him out. He threw him out. Now, that priest went back to Rome and told the Pope that they were hiding a fake in the monastery. A fake. This was a priest. They placed him under investigation. And Padre Pio couldn't speak with his usual spiritual director during this time. So after the break, my friends, we'll come back, and we have so much more to discuss, our sufferings tailor-made for us. So stay tuned.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, welcome back, my friends. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done, heard every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. I'm so happy to be with you today. And we're talking about our sufferings tailor-made for us. And as I was sitting listening to the commercial at the break, I was moved to think of Kathleen McCarthy's sufferings, you know, from a brain tumor to kidney cancer to lung cancer, to her back injuries, to the many car accidents, and what it has done for her. She has really become such a powerful prayer warrior and intercessor because she has walked the walk. So there really is very little that any of us who listen to this radio network could experience that she hasn't personally experienced. And this empowers her to carry her cross. You know, the loss of her husband after from cancer, after the death of her 12th child. Her 12th baby was only a couple weeks old. Her home burned to the ground with all these kids and no home, and what people did for her. She has an amazing story. And talk about crosses. I can think of, you know, walking into a room and all the different crosses that she has carried. And this radio network evolved out of those crosses. And Dom Lettieri, you know, sitting under the steps of his house in South Philadelphia after teaching at St. Hubert's all day and preaching the word of God under the steps, and then it evolving into this radio network. And he knew about the radio going on internet before any radio station was on the internet. He actually had a prophetic word about it. But I'm thinking, and after his passing, then he handed the realm over to Kathleen McCarthy, who said no. And then the Lord showed her that she was to do this. But all the crosses of carrying the responsibility of this radio network. It isn't easy. But walk into a room, and I can't think of one person I know that hasn't suffered all these things. You know, that she continues to walk and offer the cross to others in healing. In her love, she offers the love of Jesus, the mercy of Jesus, and the compassion of Jesus, because she has suffered what most of us who are listening have suffered. So let us get back to Padre Pio. He couldn't even speak with his usual spiritual director. In fact, he didn't even speak to him again until that man was on his deathbed. And Padre Pio, using bilocation now, what is bilocation? Bilocation means he could be in your living room and in the monastery at the same time. He appeared at his bedside, remember? He was also forbidden to have any contact with his spiritual children, and he had thousands. But worst of all, his trials were the 2 years he was forbidden to celebrate Mass publicly and to hear confessions. He used to weep and wonder what he had done to deserve such punishments. These trials, my friends, ended with a new archbishop for the region who went to Rome and asked the Pope why he was treating Padre Pio so severely. Now, the Pope said that he had been told he was a fake. You see, one person, what they can do. This archbishop corrected that impression. Later, even the psychiatrist who had accused him of faking his wounds asked Padre Pio's forgiveness. Now, Padre Pio did forgive him, but warned the priest that he had better pray that God forgive him. The stigmata was physically painful to Padre Pio, and someone once asked Padre Pio if his wounds hurt, and he said, sure they do. God didn't give them to him for good looks. I know a man who was present when a pilgrim reached out and grabbed Padre Pio's hand, and Padre Pio screamed in pain because of the open wound. Along with all these sufferings, Padre Pio also endured beatings from the devil. Now, Father Andrew Apostoli shared seeing a photograph taken 2 weeks after one of these incidents. The beating had been so severe that Padre Pio still had two black eyes. Saint Padre Pio was a true disciple of Jesus. He daily took up his cross in so many forms, and he faithfully followed after Jesus. Luke 9, verse 23. The cross carries us, my friends. Now, a passage in the Imitation of Christ notes that if we carry the cross will end up carrying us. In other words, the cross will strengthen us and make us less susceptible to the snares of the world. And this is what Father Doug McKay was saying yesterday. That horrendous attack by the dog on his collarbone and shoulder and arm, it has led him closer to the cross. It takes time and effort to learn to carry the cross with Jesus. Like the apostles, we learn to do this every time. In doing so, we learn to know and love Jesus, to enter not only into his sufferings, but also into his joy. Now, we may wonder, after all this, after all that we've shared, in the last 40 minutes or so, if it's wrong to ask the Lord to take away our crosses. We are human, and I know, I do it all the time. Please, Lord, take away my cross. Jesus himself gave the answer to that question in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Luke 22, verse 42. So yes, we may ask God to remove our crosses as long as we ask it according to his will. Now, St. Teresa of Avila, when she was very young, had a great cross of sickness, and she prayed to the Lord to take it away. She said that she thought she had made a mistake. She should have learned to carry that cross as best as she could. Well, while it lasted, God taught her many things through the cross and gave her many blessings. Ask the Lord and our Blessed Lady today to give you strength to bear your cross. They will bring you many graces, and they will bring your loved ones many graces as well. It is through bearing our crosses that God pours forth his grace more abundantly upon the world. So Mother Teresa used to say that when suffering comes, it's a sign that we are close enough to the cross of Jesus for him to give us a kiss. Isn't that powerful? In the sign of the cross, you shall conquer. Because the cross, my friends, is a sign of Christ's victory. It's a sign of Christ's victory. Jesus preached about the cross. three times during his public ministry, predicting that he would suffer and on the cross, but that he would rise again. For him, the cross was everything. Don't we in our society try to avoid the cross at all times? Oh, we want to avoid that cross, don't we? We want to avoid the cross. We're human. And this is why we need to pray for the grace to endure the cross. Because there is a reason. If you're listening today, this program is for you. This program is for you. The cross that you're carrying, do you want Jesus to take it away? Or do you want Jesus to use it for the good of the kingdom? It's a simple question, and it's not an easy answer. I'm sure most of us would say, take it away, take it away, take the pain away. Lord, take the pain away. But really pray into it, my friends. I want you to really, really, truly pray into it. And in praying about the program, I must have several hundred books over the years of reading and researching and giving retreats and notes from retreat directors. And I've had this book in my bedroom, and I haven't looked at it probably in 10 years. But today, it caught my eye, and I really know that when it catches my eye, I'm supposed to look at what God wants me to say from it. And it's from Pope Benedict the 16th, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, years ago, this used to be a very popular book, but I haven't heard anything about it. And truthfully, I didn't really care for it when I first read it, but I'm going to pick it up again and start to read it. But I opened up, wait till you hear this, I opened up to a chapter called Thy Will Be Done. Thy Will Be Done, which is the name of this program. Thy Will Be Done, on earth as it is in heaven. Now I'm going to read just a little bit of what Joseph Ratzinger, Pope Benedict XVI said in Jesus of Nazareth, because there isn't one coincidence here that I would open up to the name of the program, Thy Will Be Done, on earth as it is in heaven. Now, two things, he says in the book, are immediately clear from the word of this petition. God has a will with and for us, and it must become the measure of our willing and being. And the essence of heaven is that it is where God's will is unwavering done. Or to put it in somewhat different terms, where God's will is done is heaven. The essence of heaven is oneness with God's will, the oneness of will and truth. Earth becomes heaven when, insofar as God's will is done there, and it is merely earth. The opposite of heaven, when and insofar as it withdraws from the will of God. This is why we pray that it may be on earth as it is in heaven, that earth may become heaven. Now, this is from Jesus of Nazareth, Pope Benedict XVI. But he asks, what is God's will? I know someone listening needs to hear this. How do we recognize it? How can we do it? The Holy Scriptures work on the premise that man has knowledge of God's will in his inmost heart. That anchored deeply within us, there's a participation in God's knowing, which we call conscience. But the sacred scriptures also know that this participation in the Creator's knowledge, which he gave us in the context of our creation, according to his likeness, became buried in the course of history. It can never be completely extinguished, but it has been covered over in many ways, like a barely flickering flame, all too often at risk of being smothered under the ash of all the prejudices that have piled upon us. And this is why God has spoken to us now, uttering words in history that come to us from outside and complete the interior knowledge that has become all too hidden. Are you listening? When Jesus speaks to us of God's will and of heaven, the place where God's will is fulfilled, the core of what he says is again connected with his mission. As Jake at Jacob's well, now go back and try to find that scripture. He says to his disciples who bring him food, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." John 4, verse 34. What he means is that his oneness with the Father's will is the foundation of his entire life. The unity of his will with the Father's will is the core of his very being. Above all, what we hear in this petition of the Our Father is an echo of Jesus' own passionate struggle in dialoguing with his own Father on the Mount of Olives. "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, not as I will, but as thy will. My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, thy will be done." Matthew 26, verse 39 to 42. When we come to consider Jesus' passion, we will need to focus on this prayer, in which Jesus gives us a glimpse into his heaven, into his human soul, and it's becoming one with the will of God. Again, that's from Pope Benedict XVI in Jesus of Nazareth, which was published in 2007. And again, I haven't picked this up in years. Opened up to "Thy Will Be Done," the name of this program. So we have so much to consider, and I pray that somehow these radio broadcasts touch your life in a special way. And as I have been doing for several months now, because I feel that it's really critical that we hear this, "In the Silence of My Heart, Volume 4, The Prophetic Word Through Kathleen McCarthy," which has a Nikhil Avstadt and an imprimatur. And I prayed, "Lord, what is it that you want the people to hear today?" And I opened to this. Again, this has been approved. "On this journey that you walk, this journey called life, this journey that each of you walk alone, but you're surrounded by those you love, companions on the way, do you realize that I walk with you along that journey? Do you realize, really understand that I'm with you always? I call you to walk in obedience. I call you to follow the example of my mother. Did she not accept everything? Yes, she did. Did she not offer you the gift of her motherhood? Did she not offer you the gift of her son? It was indeed a journey that she had to walk. But again, I call to you, realize this truth, to walk in obedience. When you walk in obedience along the journey of life, it is then that you too can say, as my mother said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name.'" Yes, you too can live this message out when you keep your eyes on Jesus, when you recognize that you're on this journey with him. You do not walk alone. I am with you in your suffering and in your joys, in your triumphs. I call you to walk in obedience, because when you walk in obedience, even your body shall be blessed and anointed. When you walk in obedience, you will be a living witness to the power of my Holy Spirit. You will be a living witness to the people that are still walking in darkness, and many are. If they do not walk in obedience to me, if they do not come and follow me, if they do not recognize me as Lord and Savior, if they do not recognize me as the one who was sent into the world to bring them to repentance so that I can forgive other sins, then surely they would be lost. And so I say to you today, accept my will in your life. Give me your amen. Let it be done to you according to my will. And the more you ponder this, the more you'll realize that I'm walking with you on this road, the road that will lead you to everlasting life when you come and follow me, when you seek my will over your will, when you surrender all those things in your life that are stumbling blocks that would draw you away from me rather than draw you to me. When you do that in obedience, you shall be blessed mightily, not only in your own spirit, but in your mind, in your heart. And yes, the body too is for the Lord. And so I will bless you, anoint you, and I call you to take that anointing out to the world, the anointing of my Holy Spirit living in you. And when you do, when you recognize me in the breaking of the bread, when you recognize my mother as your mother, when you recognize me walking alongside you, I want to converse with you, but you don't even give me the time of day. I want to sing a new song in your heart. I want to fill you with that wisdom that comes from above. I want to send you out into the world to go and make disciples, but I want to equip you with every good thing for every good work. You lack nothing. And so tonight, I call you to that obedience, and to that obedience in times of sorrow and strife and struggle and suffering and joy and jubilation and in moments of triumph. I will indeed set your hearts on fire as you recognize me, as you recognize my presence in one another, and recognize that I am your companion, and I'm walking along the way with you. You are never, ever alone. Have I not told each of you, and from generation to generation, I continue to speak this word, and I tell each of you this night again to be still and know that I am God. In the hustle and bustle of this world, in the busyness, the humdrum, the fears, the anxiety, the doubts that sneak into your mind and filter into your heart, it is those things that you pay more attention to than you do to me. I've told you that I am from all time. And when I tell you the words I, meaning my character, my all absolute, when I tell you am, I'm also telling you that everything is under my domain. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the living water. I am the answer to all of your problems. I am the light who can dispel the darkness in your life. And I am the freedom that can unbind and unwrap all the ways that you are held and bound. I am the power to heal you in mind and body and spirit today. I am the one who came into the world to teach the world about sin. I am the one who has come to the world saying, come and follow me. For as you follow me, I will lead you on the path to everlasting life. You have put your hope and your trust in false promises, false gods, things that you've made God's power, money, and prestige. I've come to set you free of all this. Many trust in the world, trust in the false promises, but I am the promise keeper. I am the one who allows you to live and move and have your being. And one day I will call your name. And one day I will come back for you so that you can be where I am. I do not tell you that I was. I don't tell you that I will be. I tell you I am. I tell you this night not to follow false gods, not to place your hope in false promises, and do not follow the way of those who would tickle your ears, pat your back, and tell you you're just fine. Oh no, come a little closer. Come a little deeper into the walk of my Holy Spirit, and I will fill you with living water. I will inebriate you. Yes, inebriate you in my love, for I have a great work for you to do. There are many who are waiting to hear of my love and my mercy, my peace, my grace, my strength. I want you to go, for you do not go alone, for I am with you always. Again, these are prophetic words from In the Silence of My Heart, Volume 4, from December 2010 to December 2011. Prophetic words given to Kathleen McCarthy that have received a Nikhil Upstot, an imprimatur from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And it's very important to have these because one can claim they have prophetic words, but all these have been checked out. They're in alignment with the sacred scriptures, the magisterium of the church. But I have felt led because there are so many prophetic words that have been printed and shared. But since the summer, the Lord has placed this on my heart to share these with you because maybe you don't even have the books or you can't listen to Kathleen all the time. And she has locutions, which are different than prophetic words. Every week, she shares them on her radio broadcast on Tuesdays on WTMR 800 AM from 4 to 6 PM. So it is an honor to read these prophetic words. And I really didn't feel led to read them until this summer when it became quite clear that those of you who are in the car who may be tuning in need to hear some words of encouragement. You are not alone. You are not walking alone. I also wanted to share with you, excuse me, as this cold is descending on me, a special prayer that Father James Blunt, he at his retreats for years, he's been giving out this little prayer card. And I want to share it with you so it's easy. You don't even need the prayer card, but perhaps you can pray it tonight with me. For the world, for this radio apostolate, for all who are listening, who feel that they can't carry the cross, that their crosses are too heavy. Most precious blood of Jesus Christ, save us and the whole world. Most precious blood of Jesus Christ, save us and the whole world. And one of Our Lady's favorite prayers, and I'm not sure you know it, it's even her favorite, is the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, and sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer me. Amen. And until next week, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. And today, on this feast of Our Lady of Fatima, please ask for our Blessed Mother's intercession for you and the cross that you're carrying. Know that you are dearly loved. God bless you.
Alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new